Exodus, really quick. Chapter 15, I'm going to start in verse 22. And then I'm just going to read through verse 8 of chapter 16 to save a little time. We are deep in the service now, so I'm going to try to get moving here and guard our Sunday school time for the kids. But we've been working our way through the Exodus, and we, like Jimmy said 2 weeks ago, read about how they celebrated after being brought out of Egypt and through the Red Sea, finally completely delivered from Pharaoh and his army. And now they've celebrated, and now they're setting out on this journey. And you're going to notice things change again quickly. Starting in Exodus 15, verse 22 on page 57. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "What would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full? For you have brought us into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come again to your word, an ancient word, which yet has been kept for us and even translated into our own language so we can understand it better. We are grateful and pray that we could learn from these wanderings of your people, how they kind of were back and forth, up and down. Lord, help us to learn where our lasting hope is. Help us to find that bread which you have provided for us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I want to tell you a story about a guy. There's this guy who had a great job. And this job afforded him the great blessing of several weeks of paid vacation every year. And this guy with a great job and a great family often got to take one of those weeks of vacation to the beach, often in a beach house that was someone else had paid for. So it was practically free. He just had to get there. And this guy enjoyed being at the beach, really did, and especially being on paid vacation. So it's kind of like he's paid to be at the beach in a house that someone else paid for, until one afternoon it rained, and then he started grumbling and complaining. Of course, that guy is me. And I wonder if you're willing to admit there's something in that little anecdote that describes you too, right? And do you ever wonder, you ever think about that? I mean, I've spent a lot of time thinking about that and repenting of that sort of attitude. But do you ever wonder where that kind of ingratitude and whining could come from? I mean, being paid vacation in a paid beach house and beautiful with your family and a little bit of weather. The weather isn't just perfect and this grumbling just comes from somewhere. Where does it come from? Our passage reminds us again this morning that these sorts of faults aren't unknown among God's people. They're, in fact, very common. And yet, we are saved for so much more, aren't we? Right? We are offered a freedom that's so much greater than that. So I just want to look at this passage through the thinking about that and through the lens of a few questions. As we look back to these ancient people, what can we learn about ourselves? What can we learn about their God, our God, and His greater purposes for us? And what do we do in response? How can we live differently? So what do we learn about ourselves? Well, let's think about the scene that we're given here in Exodus. We are 3 days out from this great celebration we've been talking about. I mean, this would have been epic, top five rescues in the history of the world level of excitement. Have you ever seen pictures of New York City after when they announced that World War II was over, Victory Day? Right, and there's a ticker tape parade. All the soldiers are just grabbing any young woman they can and kissing them, right? You're kissing random people, right? It's this unbelievable celebration. This would have been topped that. Singing, dancing, victory. And 3 days later, these same people begin to grumble against their leader, Moses. And of course, it's really they're grumbling against God. Why? Because they are desperately thirsty. They're in a desert wilderness. The water they've been carrying has probably run out. You know, they had water skins, or however they carried their water, it's gone. They haven't found any fresh water. They thought they saw one. They come up to this bitter spring, and imagine the disappointment. They take some water, and it's been spoiled by salts or some mineral in the water. They can't be drunk. The practical problem is real. They are wrong to be concerned. They would not be wrong to cry out to the Lord in their need. So what's the problem? Of course, the problem is in their hearts. This grumbling comes from hearts, from their hearts. They're complaining against God. And we might ask, why? Well, I think a few things can be said. One is they're like us. They were forgetful. Their immediate pain and thirst is consuming their thoughts, so that they've forgotten who they belong to. They've forgotten who has just rescued them. They've forgotten what has just happened. I mean, might not the God who can part the Red Sea with a breath be able to send a little water their way? But sin turns us inward, doesn't it? Sin skews our thinking and perspective. So we look a little further into chapter 16. Moses had provided water with this log he threw in, which God had planted that tree, right? That's miraculous that they provided this water, and then they keep moving on with water, and they get hungry. Chapter 16, verse 3, we learn that they're another month down the way in their journey, and they're pining for meat. Even those meat pots of Egypt, slop for slaves, right? You know, when we are pressed, our minds will often drift this way into unbelief, and it just throws off our thinking that they would settle for the meat of slaves instead of this freedom they've been given by the Lord. Proverbs 26:11 says, "The fool returns to folly like a dog returns to vomit." They're being foolish to think that they would be better to go back to Egypt, to the life they had there, which was no life at all. I think this is why the New Testament, so often we're admonished to remember, right? Remember who you are. Remember what the Lord has done. Paul encouraged the church at Philippi to remember their citizenship in heaven. Don't go back to Egypt. You're citizens of a new kingdom. Keep your minds on Jesus. Don't be led astray by your appetites. Those whose God is their belly, whose minds are stuck on earthly things. These are God's people we're reading about in Exodus 16. They're like us, more like us than we probably care to admit. They're ruled by their appetites, and their pride is exposed as they rely on their own judgment. Where can we find water? Where can we find meat? We'll go back to Egypt. Rather than putting their hope in the Word of God, trusting God. Verse 20 of chapter 15. Don't we read? No, I'm sorry. Verse 20 of chapter 16, which we didn't get to, but tells us that they did not listen to Moses. They did not listen to the word they'd been given. So they didn't even follow the directions when God provided this manna. And I hope you know what God did in providing this manna on every morning. He would rain down on them but they didn't know what manna just means. What is it? Right? They couldn't figure out what it was, but it was like this seed. It was white. It tasted the taste of wafers made with honey. And God filled their bellies day in and day out and told them every day, just take this portion. But they wouldn't. Some tried to keep it overnight. Some, even on the Sabbath day when they were told to rest, would go out and try to gather it. Just trying to really do what was practical, what made sense to them, what they needed to do, instead of resting in what the Lord had told them, that He would provide for them in this way. Right? So, what do we learn about ourselves? What do we learn about? I hope we can see in ourselves this complaining, grumbling heart is rooted in unbelief, really. It's sin. It's wanting to take control and rely on ourselves and to fill our appetites instead of waiting on the Lord. We're just like them. We grumble. So what do we learn about God here? Well, we learn that God is extraordinarily gracious and patient with His people and provides what we need even when we grumble. He is the God of all grace. Now, for the moment, I'm defining grace, as I say that, as demerited favor. What is grace? It's God's favor that we don't deserve. In fact, we deserve the opposite. Their grumbling and complaining are strikes against them, and yet God cares for them. He provides fresh water. He provides manna. He sends quail so they can have meat. They haven't earned God's favor. It's actually that they deserve the opposite. But He has a greater work to do in their hearts. And He will not leave them to die from dehydration or starvation, even though they are whiny and ungrateful. God loves them too much. He loves them so much that He won't even give them what they want. Right? They want to go back to Egypt. He won't let that happen. God wants them to, He wants to answer a deeper thirst, a deeper hunger. He aims to satisfy not merely their physical appetites, but their greater spiritual need, which is to learn to trust Him, right? To worship Him in all circumstances. So what does God want for us? What does God want for this people? What He wants is a relationship of daily dependence. But that's why he did this weird thing with this manna, where the manna would come every morning and they would gather just the day's portion. If they tried to keep it overnight, it would rot, it would stink, it would turn on them. They couldn't do that. They just had to wait. Even if they ran out in the evening, which they should, they had to trust the Lord overnight with no food in the cupboard, that the next morning it would be on the ground. He was trying to work into their hearts and lives daily dependence. And they did that for 40 years. And they still didn't quite learn it as they were going into the promised land to trust in God. God knows what sin has done to us. How forgetful we are. He could have given them loads of manna, a year's supply at a time, but they would have forgotten God and turned in on themselves. Ed Welch says it like this. He said, in his great wisdom, God doesn't give tomorrow's manna today, Otherwise, you would forget him and trust in yourself. Do you see that? God doesn't give you what you need tomorrow or Wednesday or Friday. He gives you what you need today. Because otherwise, you would trust yourself, as Ed said, right? He wants us to learn that to look up daily, to look to him daily. God's word is teaching us where real life is found, true freedom and true contentment. You know, it's a good thing that it's hard to win the lottery. It really is. Because most of us would choose it. Right? If it was easy to win the lottery, most of us would choose that. We would foolishly take up the offer of 50 years of seemingly guaranteed material security, even at the greater risk of losing the blessing of daily dependence on God, right? Because apart from some special grace, if we were given that much security, we would drift into a self-sufficiency. We would drift into pride. We would somehow think it was really us and not God. And our faith and joy in the Lord would be diminished. See, this is just counter-worldly thinking, isn't it? It's in our need, in our dependence, where we learn joy and faith. That the happiness we're pining for, the joy we really want, that we think stuff will get us, stuff robs us of that. That is found in a daily dependence on God. That's why we're so impoverished in our wealth as a nation. And I've always been struck in seminary, especially we would have speakers come from third world countries, from places where there's great persecution, and they would lament for us our position here in America. How hard it is to trust in the Lord because we have everything. Jesus taught us that true life is looking to our Heavenly Father every day and saying, "Give me my daily bread." Why? Because He will. He will give you your daily bread. And therein lies true freedom. The freedom of a child. The child of the King who has all the riches in the world at His disposal. Who will withhold nothing truly needful. Nothing that you ultimately need. Do you believe that? God will withhold nothing that you need. For your truest good. He loves you too much to give you what you want in your flesh. So he withholds that to give you what you really need. And what you need is daily dependence. To embrace Sabbath. One day a week when we don't need to gather everything the world says we need. A whole day of the week when we just say what we need is God. To rest in Him and be renewed in Him. And to say no to all these other things that tempt us and vie for our attention and try to get a hold of our appetites. Delighting in the Lord's Day is a tangible way of saying God has greater purposes for me than all of that. Right? Moses looked back on this and wrote in Deuteronomy 8:3 on what was happening here in Exodus. He said, Moses said to the people, "He humbled you. He let you hunger. He fed you with manna, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." That's our manna, isn't it? To live by God's word. That's our manna. That's what we need every day, is God's word in our lives. His grace, that word of grace. And I don't just mean to carry around your Bible. I mean to receive God's word of mercy in your heart every day. To come to Him every morning and say, "Lord, give me those new mercies. Give me that manna. Give me what I need today because I don't have the strength." Our manna is not to live by the bread of worldly success, material comforts that we can gather in by our own cunning, but to live life as a gift from above. From God, our Father, who loves us. To believe whatever He says is good, is good. So how can we live life differently, really quickly? Well, we can begin by asking, what could these guys have done differently back then? And the answer is very simple. Instead of grumbling and complaining, they could have simply waited and trusted God. Right? They could have just sat down and said, "We are thirsty, Lord. Answer our thirst or we die. We are hungry, Lord. Feed us or we die." And we could still do the same. They chose to grumble and complain instead of waiting and cry and calling on the Lord in prayer. And I think our first impulse, too, is to complain and grumble. Our only hope, I believe, is Jesus, the one who did do things differently, the one who did wait on God and trust God to the very end. Again, in the beginning of chapter 16, when they grumbled against Moses, they were 30 days into the wilderness, 30 days of hunger. Friends, we have a Savior who knows that sort of hunger. In fact, He went 40 days. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. But He did not complain. Even when the master tempter came and whispered in His ear, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones, they'll become bread." And how did He answer? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus waited on His Father. He was patient. He did not complain in His hunger. And so we look to Him. Here is one who did what we could never do for ourselves. It's in Him that we'll find grace to change. It's in Him we will find our life. It's in knowing Jesus that you will change as a person. He is the manna we need. And that's what Brian read earlier from John chapter 6, isn't it? Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." That's Jesus. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus meets our deepest needs. This is not to say that your life will be easy if you trust Jesus. In fact, it will probably be harder, and He tells us to expect suffering. We may experience times of great hunger, great deprivation. We may have great material need. We may be poor. Our health may run out. We may experience disappointment from our friends and feel all alone, but Jesus will not leave us. Jesus will meet us there in all those places. God's grace will be sufficient. Just one more verse from, or one more idea from Philippians, because that's exactly what Paul teaches us. He learned from Jesus. When he said, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me," what was he talking about? Well, he told us just before, "I know what it is to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Christ, the bread of life, our manna. Do you see? Jesus is our manna. He is your daily bread. He is what you need every morning. He will change you. So the message of manna is clear. That's what you can carry into the week. Every morning, just think about manna. What is the manna the Lord is giving me today? Because the message of manna is clear. Live by and act on the grace Jesus provides you each day. And wait patiently and confidently on the grace Jesus will give you for tomorrow. It will come. Whatever your need is, He will give you what you need. He gives His people manna, Himself, the bread of life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your great kindness towards complainers and grumblers like us, that You do not withhold Your gifts until we get our act together. You came to us when we were Your enemies, and You still pour out Your grace upon us, even as we struggle. Lord, help us to trust You. Every morning this week, I pray for every person here that we would just remember how You fed Your ancient people with manna. And that You'll give us hearts of faith to believe that as we look up in humility, You will give us our daily bread. You have given us Jesus, and you will give us everything we truly need in Him. Strengthen our faith. Help us to wait. Change us, I pray, in His name. Amen.
Amen.
Will you stand? Sing with us.
Jesus shall reign.